John chapter 10. This is called the Discourse on the Good Shepherd, and he introduces himself in a couple of different ways in this chapter. Again, Jesus was very masterful when he taught to try to use illustrations that the average person, the common person, could understand. You can see that all through his teachings. You know, well, you preachers get up there and you tell a bunch of stories and you just need to stick to the Bible. Well, you know, we learned it from somebody. You know, be careful what you start saying before you think it through, okay? Yeah, a lot of times we use illustrations and messages because we use illustrations of things that are relatable to the congregation that we pastor. And so Jesus is the one that taught us that. He said, I'm the door of the sheepfold. Anyone who tries, I'm going to review the first about 10 verses. Anyone who tries to enter in some other ways, a thief and a robber. That's verse number one. The shepherd calls out to the porter. The porter, I believe, is God the Father. It means a watcher or a gate warden. He's the one that keeps the door. And then the shepherd enters first to the sheepfold. Leaders lead. We talked about that. The shepherd then uses his voice to call the sheep. And we talked about the importance of the Word of God. And if you preach the Bible and you teach the Bible and church, listen, folks, there's a lot of churches that are drawing large crowds, and yet the Bible has very little to do with anything that they're doing. So let me ask you this. These large crowds, are they sheep or are they goats? And that's what you have to start asking yourself. I think there's a lot of people being drawn into religion, but are they being brought to salvation? Okay? And so be careful about that. The preaching of the word, we talked about that. Sunday morning, Sunday school. What's Sunday school? Sunday school? Well, we have a textbook. If you got a school, you got to have a textbook. And this is all about the Bible. We have children's Bible club, not children's fun time, although it's fun. Brother Jared makes sure he makes it fun for them. But it's our children's Bible club. And what do we do Sunday morning? What do you do? Preacher, it's the 250th anniversary. What are you going to do? Teach Sunday school? Teach the Bible. What are we going to do next, sir? Preach the Bible. What are we going to do tonight? Preach the Bible. And if you just use God's word, the sheep will be drawn to it. To the true shepherd, the porter opens the door. The good shepherd will but speak, and the sheep will follow. If they hear another voice, the Bible says they're going to run the other way. Verse number 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. You're going to see three different reactions, folks, and they're going to intensify. The first one is confusion. They're confused. You know why? How many times have I said this? They're listening with natural ears instead of spiritual ears. Okay, and as long as you approach the Bible that way and you are listening with the natural ears, the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit because they're spiritually discerned. And so you hand a lost person a Bible, it's a good thing. And by the way, Bible tells about a lost man that was reading the Bible, sitting in his chariot out in the middle of nowhere, couldn't figure it out. He said, Philip says, understandest why thou readest? He said, watch this. How can I, lest some man guide me? And so, folks, you know what? Just giving somebody a Bible is not enough. That's a natural man. You know what? That's why Jesus said, go unto all the world and preach the gospel. He wants us to use our voice along with his words and our testimony along with his words so that the Holy Spirit has everything he needs to bring a person to the point of salvation. And so I'm all for giving out Bibles. We're giving them out. Talk to everybody that's involved in this Bible giveaway. They are trained not just to hand them a Bible, but to turn that Bible over. And on the back cover, the special Bibles we have printed has the plan of salvation. And you know what? Most of the people that are giving a Bible are also given a thorough presentation of the gospel in that moment. And so we can't always do that. I'd still like to have for them to have it, but that's what we've got to do. So Jesus caused confusion, and then it's going to cause division, and then it's going to cause murderous anger at the end where they're going to try to kill him. Doesn't he feel like maybe we're preaching the same chapter? This has happened over and over and over in Christ's life. He, no matter what their questions are, he gives them the truth. No matter what their arguments are, he gives them the truth. no matter what accusations, name calling, all this other stuff, an attack on his character, he gives them the truth. Here we go again. He's doing it again. You know why? Because, folks, that's what we have. And you know what? That's what's going to change lives. Throughout this chapter, you're going to see that once again, people are being brought to the Savior. Now, they're the quiet ones. They're the ones back in the back just listening. They're the ones that are listening with spiritual ears and letting the Holy Spirit work in their heart. The big loud mouths that are interrupting and hurling the accusations, they've hardened their heart. They've chose unbelief. They're full of jealous and envy, and they just want to destroy this man who everybody's now listening to instead of following us. And so but listen, don't let the loud minority talk you out of preaching and teaching the Bible and using the Bible. I'll use this as an opening illustration in the service this morning, but I think one of the greatest things that you can do is just share the Word of God with someone. Share a verse with someone. A verse. As you interact with people, a lot of times what we're tempted to do is they come to us with a problem, they come to us discouraged, they come to us defeated, or they come to us even lost. And we'll talk a bunch of talk, and that's fine. But I don't have any promise that says the words of Jerry Ross are not going to return void. And that's why this matter, if we're encouraging you to memorize these verses every month. But you know what? You're not always going to have a copy of the Bible. But here's the neat thing. Now, tell me if it's not true. Give me one of these. For one thing, I'll know you're awake. And another thing, I'll know I'm not going crazy. But when you're talking to somebody and all of a sudden they are vulnerable enough to open up about a situation in their life, how many times does the Holy Spirit bring to your mind and memory a verse to share with them? And so, they're confused, but Jesus, he just keeps giving them the truth. So he's going to elaborate now in verse number 7, and he's going to continue saying again to them, "I am the door of the sheep. Verily, verily, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers." And then he goes to verse number 9, "I am the door," emphasizes it again. Verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And I think that's about where we left off. And then verse number 11, he's going to go into another analogy here. He's presented himself as the door and the Father as the porter and the sheep as the ones that will hear his voice and follow him. And then he warns about thieves and robbers. But Jesus then is going to change at verse 11, say, "I am the good shepherd." Okay, he's using the entire idea, which would be very common knowledge for the common man, the idea because of taking care of sheep. Many of the men listening to him as boys were probably involved in it. Many of them owned sheep. They dealt with them most every day in their life. This is something they could relate to. He said, "I'm the good shepherd." The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then verse number 12 and 13, he talks about the difference between a shepherd and a hireling. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because, and this is deep stuff. What's the reason he flees? Because he's a hireling and not cared for the sheep. He's into it for the money. Folks, there's a lot of men and, sadly, women in ministry that folks are just fleecing the flock. They're into it for the money. And you need to be careful and be wise. Preacher, I've been watching some Christian TV, and they got a need here, and they got a need there, and we sent money here. You better know where you're sending your money. Okay, you need to be wise, all right? Because there's all kinds of charlatans out there. They're hirelings, they're into it for the money. And when it comes to having to give their life for the sheep or risk their life for the sheep, they gone. And so he wants us to know that. Good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The hireling is a wage worker. That's what that word hireling means. I mean, I'm just paid help. I'm not here to die for anything. Shepherd owns the sheep. The hireling, whose own the sheep are not. Shepherd will fight off the wolves. Hireling will flee from the wolves. Shepherd cares for the sheep. Hireling cares for his wages. And so You know, I think I've said enough about that, but folks, listen to me. And by the way, I can go into the New Testament and show you that it's absolutely 100% biblical that a church take financial care of their pastor. That's not what I'm talking about here. That's inarguable that it's taught in the scripture. There's a difference between a congregation taking care of their pastor and some of these guys using people. I mean, I don't get this when I'm hearing of preachers that are dying multimillionaires. I'll just be honest with you. It just shakes my head. I mean, I don't care who you are. You got a private jet. Okay. You got a yacht. I mean, what are you doing? And so know the difference, folks. And then he says in verse 14, again, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Let me just give you a word of comfort right here. Okay. He says he knows his sheep. You know what that means? He knows you. He knows your name. He knows what you're going through today. He knows what your family's facing. He knows if you're struggling. I mean, the Bible says he knows the number of the hairs on our head. Okay? That's how much he uses that. Jesus used that to encourage us. That's how intimately involved God is in knowing you. And so he puts effort into knowing you. He knows every single sheep. He knows what you're going through. And I had this thought here, you know, if he puts that much effort into knowing me, how much effort am I putting into really knowing him? You know, don't let that relationship just be a one-way road where God cares. God cares for us. Do you care for him? You know, how about this? Because come on, it is the day after the 4th. God bless America. Are we blessing him? And let's make sure that that's a two-way street. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. I really believe that's prophetic. I believe that that is trying to introduce into the minds of the Jewish people the fact that Jesus didn't just come for Israel or just come to deliver the Jews or offer salvation to the Jews, but this is going to go up to the Gentiles. And by the way, read the book of Acts. I mean, I believe the vast majority of our church fathers, I'm talking about the disciples that launched the thing in Acts. I mean, look at their reaction when Gentiles started getting saved. All of a sudden, they needed to have a business meeting about this. They need to form a council about this. What are we going to, I mean, is this even allowed? And then all of a sudden, don't you think that thoughts like this, words like this didn't come back to their mind where Jesus said, listen, I didn't just come for one. Listen, folks, okay, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in it. Hey, do you understand? I know that you get this, but we got to be careful as Americans, you know. You realize that Jesus didn't come just to save Americans. And if we're not careful, we get that, you know, we're important. No, everybody's important. Everybody's important. And we need to get the gospel everywhere. I mean, just walk through Missionary Hall. We need to get the gospel everywhere. And so I believe that's what that is in there for. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. I love these. I love verse 17 and 18. I think somewhere in here I put down, don't ever say that somebody killed Jesus. Nobody killed him. Nobody took his life. Nobody took his life. He laid it down himself voluntarily, and he said, I took it again. And so I love verse 17, 18. Therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Here he declares, I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, again, let me summarize that little section there from verse 14 to 18. Jesus declares himself the good shepherd twice. He emphasizes then, re-emphasizes again, his relationship with the Father in verse number 15. Traits of the good shepherd. I know my sheep, verse 14. I am known by my sheep, verse 14. I have more sheep that are not of this fold. And then verse 4, number 4, I will gather them into one fold, into one flock. Verse 5, because I am the good shepherd, I will lay down my life for the sheep. And he repeats this over and over and over that he is going to lay down his life for the sheep. My Father loves me because I'm willing to do this. I will lay it down. I will take it back again. No man took the life of Jesus Christ. I do this in obedience to the command of my Father. And so here Jesus now covers this section on the good shepherd. Now, verse 19, I said, first of all, we see that they have, their first reaction was confusion. Their second reaction was division. Verse number 19, let's look at that, verse 19. There was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, wow, this is how wide the division was. And many of them said, he hath the devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? So we have two opinions here, two very different opinions. I'm going to tell you, over 40 years now of preaching the Bible, I can tell you this. We talk about preach the truth, preach the truth, preach the truth. No matter what they say, preach the truth. No matter what accusation they hurl, just stick with preach the truth. The truth divides. Amen. This book will divide. You're going to have people that come to this church, and many of you are in this category, and you're very faithful, and you come because you love to hear the Bible preached. You love to hear these words. But I'm going to tell you something. I've watched many a person. I know why God told Jeremiah when Jeremiah called to preach. He said, don't be afraid of their faces. I sometimes wish the whole congregation could see what I'm seeing sometimes. And not so much amongst our core people and our membership. But I'm going to tell you, we have a lot of visitors come through here. And some of them are hearing for the first time some things that go 100% against what they were raised to believe. And you can almost see the shock. Like, is he allowed to say that? And then sometimes you'll start to see the division. I mean, I've had a row of visitors where I've had one in that row of visitors going like this and the other one going. And that guy can't wait to get out as soon as the service is out. And the other, and by the way, they're in the same family. Okay, folks, you realize the Bible, come on, even divides families? Amen. Yeah, I mean, it does. You know, you could, probably everybody in here could stand and testify and say, you know, there's parts of our family that believe we've lost our mind. We've gone crazy on religion. That's what they would say, the world would say. I mean, why in the world do you need to go Sunday morning, Sunday night? You know, I've had family members accuse me of being a cult leader. I think I'm a benevolent cult leader if I am one, but I look at them like, we have so drifted from the Bible, folks, that when somebody just opens it and preaches exactly what it says, the world is shocked. Because that is not the Christianity they're being presented in most places. And so you're going to have division. You know, I mean, sometimes we have to hear some things, okay? Because you want to, the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. Well, everybody kind of goes like and believes that till you start studying Jesus. And then there's parts where you're like, well, wait a minute. Well, you know, Jesus was teaching the Bible one day and his mother and his brother showed up. By the way, his brothers were ardent, for the most fact, during his lifetime, was ardent unbelievers. Study it out. We've already talked about them being complicit and hopeful for his destruction. Some of his blood relatives. And so he's teaching the Bible, and somebody says, hey, your mom and your brothers, they're seeking an audience with you. They want you to, and he said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? These that do the will of God. Listen, I'm tired of watching Bible believing Christians leave good churches just because they got some backslidden kids or grandkids. I'm tired of watching them drop their standards because they have kids or grandkids that don't do what they do. Well, do you want to be like Jesus or not? Because it's real easy till it's hard. And so this book causes division. Verse 20, and many of them said, he hath a devil. So we see two different opinions here. Verse number 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. It was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him. All right, so now he's just walking around. He's done. He was done teaching. And so he's just taking, but here they come. These are the ones that were angry at what he taught. We're going to see another level, folks. Confusion, division, murderous anger. They're going to surround him here. They're going to force an answer out of him. They're going to try to get him to say something that they believe then they can accuse him of blasphemy. And so you got to be very careful. You have to pay some attention here how Jesus handles this situation. Then came the Jews round about him, okay, and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt if thou be the Christ? Tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not. Why? Because you're not of my sheep. You're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them unto me, verse 29, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Here he's going to say it. All right, they're begging for him to say it. Well, he's going to say it. I and my Father are one. So Jesus is then cornered by a group that was very against what he was preaching. And Jesus answers their demand for clarity. If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. I have been clear. This is basically what he told them. I have been clear. But you don't hear me because you're not you're not one of my sheep. By the way, my works testify of me. If you had any doubt, my works should have told you that I'm Christ. And you do not see, you do not hear because you're not of my sheep, verse 26 and 27. Then he says this. Now I love this because I think there's still in the heart of Christ, a desire to bring them to the truth. And I think verse 27, 28, 29, I think these are it's almost like Christ's last appeal to this group that are so steeped in unbelief. He says, listen, you could have the ability to hear my voice. Verse 27, he says, you know what? There's a supernatural leading of the Savior. Verse number 28, and I give them eternal life. Listen, I know them. You can become one of my sheep. I know them. They follow me. I mean, look what I give to my sheep, eternal life. Look what I give to my sheep, the promise that they shall never perish. Look what I give to my sheep, the promise that no man will ever be able to pluck them out of my hand. He says, that's for you. You can have eternal life, verse number 29. You can have it. Earthly assurance, eternal security. Now, to answer your question, for those of you that still don't want the truth, I and my Father are one. Okay. Here we're going to see an escalation again. So now we're going from confusion to we're going to division. And now look, if you will, in verse number 31, murderous anger. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from the truth over and over and over. The evidence is right in front of you. I am who I am. I am who I say I am. I'm offering you eternal life. I am offering you a chance to be one of my sheep. But you know, folks, listen to me. Over the years, I've watched people very tenderly respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit when it comes to the gospel. I watched my dad be brought to Christ because there was a tenderness and a belief into what was being preached at the Rock Run Baptist Church by Elmer Evans. Okay? And it drew him to Christ. Well, one of the most, I've ever tried to say this, but I think sometimes people don't understand if they're not a preacher. You love to see God work in people's life. You love to see the Holy Spirit tenderize a soul. You love to see them come to a place of belief and repentance and acceptance of Christ. But that's not what happens in most situations. And if you've spent any time outdoor knocking and soul winning, you know that's true. That more people reject the God. I mean, sound, and they're getting more bold in their rejection. I mean, they really are. America's, all right? I think East Coast, West Coast has been there for 20 years. But it's coming to the Midwest now. And people are more bold in their unbelief. And I mean, unashamed in the fact that they don't believe the Bible, and unapologetic about the fact that they don't go to church, nor would they ever, and they think you're dumb for doing it. And so, you know, that's what the Bible's going to do. So what do? We just preach the word. What do you do? Just soul win. What do you do? Just keep passing out tracts. Speak the truth. Now, folks, listen, they're confused. They're divided. Now they're angry. You know what? While this is going on, Jesus is this. Boy, good lesson for us.
Amen.
He's just this. And what you've got to do is don't get drawn in to the stupid. Because somebody gets angry at you doesn't mean that we have a right to be angry at them. If anything, our heart ought to be broken for them. And you never know. If we respond correctly to even those that are, you know, very, very aggressively against what we're trying to tell them, but they seek a Christ-like demeanor and a true compassion. I think one of the silliest reactions to a lost person's anger and belittling is for us to go to anger and belittling. That's not going to help the cause of Christ. Jesus, see Jesus do this. I know we're taking a lot of time, but I love the book of John. I've said this a couple of times because we get to see so much personal interaction. Jesus dealing with real people, real circumstances. Same thing we got to face every day because he told us, let's go into all the world and preach the gospel. And just that, remember that. If somebody gets mad at you for sharing the gospel, or trying to share your testimony, don't get angry back at them. I mean, you know what, folks? None of us were born saved. And all of us used to be there. And, you know, a lot of people that are saved and were saved later on in life can tell you, I was the one that used to give the Christians a hard time at work. I was the one that used to belittle what they said. But you know what? They just kept speaking it. And the problem, here's the thing, folks. They got to go home and the Holy Spirit's got something to work with. And if we don't want to just give them the right words, we want to give them the right spirit behind those words with Jesus.
Amen.
He just asked them questions again. My many good works have I showed you. You get ready to stone me. So which of these was it? Are you going to stone me for healing the blind guy? Is that what this is about? Or are you going to stone me for healing the crippled guy? Are you going to stone me for giving that widow who lost her only son, her son back when I walked over and interrupted a funeral and raised him from the dead? Just which of these things, and he could have went through a long list there, and they watched him do it. And so again, and then verse 33, Jesus, the Jews answered him, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou being a man makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are, and this, notice the little g, gods. If ye called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. I am the Son. That's interesting, folks. Watch this progression you're seeing through this. I am the door. I am the door of the sheepfold. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I am the Son of God. And by the way, I remind you this, we got to quit now, but I remind you this, don't ever forget Jesus came to die. You say, preacher, when the closer he's getting to Calvary, the more shotgun straight he's, yeah, exactly. But he's telling them, if I do not the works of my Father, verse 37, believe me not. Verse 38, but if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. We'll go back and teach maybe 34, verse 34 through verse 42. That little quote that he gave from the Old Testament, ye are gods. You say the Old Testament says that? Yeah, it does. Yeah, Jesus didn't quote him wrong. What was he doing there? Well, the clock's always a part of our program here. And so we're going to dismiss. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this book and thank you for the example of your son. Jesus, thank you that we can learn so much. As we just kind of walk beside you through the book of John, as we listen, as we watch and imagine what we are reading, and we're thinking about, if I'm ever in that situation, how should I respond? What should I say? What should my spirit be? Lord, help us to just preach the truth. Jesus said, the truth will set you free. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be consistent and brave and courageous and kind, Lord, as we try to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.